Christmas. And this gospel is the heart of Lent, because we see how the Lord Jesus Christ was victorious over Satan and all the devil's temptation. And this period of Lent is about fighting the temptation of the devil. Unfortunately, I feel that many people in our society these days do not even realize that Satan is actively working to tempt you. Satan is actively working to divide. And St. Peter says it in his epistle. He says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." No one would ever invite a roaring lion into their house. But unfortunately, we invite the devil into our homes, into our bedrooms, into our hearts. And we give our heart, or part of our heart, to the devil when we constantly indulge in sinful practices, when we delay repentance, when we delay confession, when we allow anger and resentment in our hearts to reside in our homes. We allow the devil to be inside our sacred place. That's why I want you to imagine if you had a pest problem, if you had cockroaches or you had termites, would you sit there and just let the cockroaches infest your house? Or would you call the Terminator to come and get rid of the cockroaches, to get rid of the termites? If you don't get rid of the cockroaches are going to multiply. And the termites are going to cause significant damage to the house. And unfortunately, if we allow the devil to stay in our house, he will destroy our house. He will destroy our house through addiction, through drugs, through anger, through mental illness. And even our Lord, he said this. He said, "The thief comes only to steal, to kill, to destroy." And even the Lord, at the Lord's Supper, he turned to St. Peter. And he said something to St. Peter. He said, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked for you to sift you as wheat." And he told Satan what he wants to do to St. Peter. He wants to kasaro. This is what Satan wants to do to every Christian, to every person. The sole objective of the devil is to destroy us, to ruin us. And that's why in the secret prayer that the priest prays while the gospel is being read, and actually we say these prayers out loud in the Great Lent, the priest prays, "Confirm their faith in you. Confirm their faith in you. Uproot from their heart. Uproot from their heart all traces of idolatry. Your law, your fear, your commandments, your holy truth, your holy precepts, establish in their heart. Today, we want to uproot all traces of idolatry from our heart. We want to say with the Lord, as he said at the end of the gospel today, "Away with you, away with you, Satan. Take him away from us and from all your people. Away with you, Satan. Depart from me. Depart from this church. Depart from my house." My heart belongs to the Lord. The gospel of today teaches us how we can be victorious against the devil. The gospel teaches us today how to be victorious against the devil. And I'm going to discuss with you three ways to be victorious against the devil. The first lesson actually comes from U.S. politics and foreign policy. U.S. politics and foreign policy, there's a very known expression. It says, "We do not negotiate with terrorists." We do not negotiate with terrorists. And similarly, we should have no negotiation with the devil. Negotiation only works, and I negotiate with you when we have common interests. We have common interests. And I want to buy a house, you want to sell a house. Okay, common interest. Negotiation only works when there's trust. I can only negotiate with someone when I trust that they will uphold their side of the bargain. The devil, you can't trust him, and he has no common interest with you. So therefore, you can never negotiate with the devil. The devil is the liar, and he is the father of all lies. And everything that the devil offers is black. Is black. Is sin. Is evil. And everything the Lord gives us is pure. And in between this black and in this white, there's this gray. There's this gray zone. This gray zone is the... Negotiate, try ya. The gray area is this part that I am not sure about. And oftentimes I find myself in this gray zone, negotiating. If I eat this, is that so bad? If I watch this, is this, you think God's going to be upset? You think so? Is it okay? If I say one bad word, it's just one bad word. Is it okay? And we start to negotiate. And the problem is the devil always wants us to make us seem that everything in this gray zone is not so bad. It's not really gray. Actually, it's kind of good. And you can be good at it. And nothing is wrong. And you're just, the church does just overreacting. They're just a bunch of religious people. And they're overreacting. And so we start to, that's awesome, to be okay. The problem is that this is how the devil got Eve to eat from the tree. It was through a dialogue. It was through negotiation. He said, Has God indeed said, you shall not eat from every tree of the garden? Eve replied very nicely. She said, you shall not eat of it. God said, you shall not eat of it. You shall not touch it, lest you die. That should have been end of conversation. And actually, that wasn't the end of the conversation. The serpent said to her, you shall not surely die. For God knows in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. And you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. And this is where the conversation between the dialogue stopped. It should have stopped, one sentence before. But Satan, Eve entertained the thought too long. And after the dialogue finished with the devil, then her mind, the dialogue happened in her mind. Is it really okay? Is this really that bad? It says that the woman saw that the tree was good for food. And it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise. So she took the fruit and ate it. The devil had planted in her desire. He planted desire in her. And then, the devil watered this plant of desire? He planted desire on it, and then he watered it by negotiation. St. James says, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. And then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. This is what happened with Adam and Eve when they negotiated with Satan. They brought death and sin into the world. Sometimes we negotiate with Satan when we tap ourselves on the back and think that we are okay when we are not okay. And we say we do many good things, and that gives us an excuse to do minor sins. This is negotiating with Satan. That's why in the Catholic Epistle today, St. James, he said it so beautifully. He says, whoever shall keep the whole law... You guys remember this part? Whoever shall keep the whole law, yet stumble in one point, is guilty of all. The law of the Lord is love. The law of the Lord is love. So all sin, no matter how small the sin is, if you break, or if you sin, you break the entire law. You break the entire law the law of love. One church father, he said something very nice about this. He said, when we put on a piece of clothing, it covers the entire body. Similarly, righteous acts shield itself with good deeds from every angle. Like when we have put on righteousness, it shields us from every angle, leaving no part vulnerable to the effects of sin. If someone is righteous in some actions, but unrighteous in other actions, it's like covering one side of their body and leaving the other side naked. Negotiation with Satan leaves us exposed. And that's why in the gospel of today, notice that the Lord, he did not negotiate with Satan. The Lord, he fasted 40 days and 40 nights and he was hungry. And the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. Now, question for you. Is it so bad that a hungry man who has been fasting for 40 days eats a little bit of bread? What's wrong with... He's hungry. He can eat. And even the Lord Jesus Christ, like, he fed thousands with bread. Like, he multiplied bread. He can do it. And even St. John, in his gospel, St. John the Baptist, he said to the Pharisees, God is able to raise up children of Abraham from these stones. So if he can turn stones into children, he could have turned a few stones to bread. Ashani, eat shwaya, like, because he's been fasting for 40 days. But he wanted to show us that we do not negotiate at all with Satan. I want to tell you three ways how we can break out of the gray zone, this negotiation that we have. First, is if we are in the gray zone, I want you to remember that there is no gray. Everything should be black and white. And if we are in the gray zone because we're unsure of something, we need to resort back to the scripture. Because that's what the Lord Jesus did. When Satan wanted to tempt him, he always gave an answer from the scripture. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The Bible has the ability to give you direction, to give clarity in a confusing situation. You're in a confusing situation, read the Bible and the Bible will show you the way in which you should walk. Another way to get out of the gray zone is to see what the church fathers teach us. To go to your spiritual father. What do the church fathers think of? One time I was in a gray zone. I remember this so clearly. I was in a gray zone in a scenario and I didn't know what to do. And I was reading a spiritual book, and in the spiritual book, the exact same scenario was in and this father was dealing with the same issue. And it gave amazing clarity. So see what the church fathers have to say. The second way we can defeat the devil is by humility. Humility. Sometimes after we resist the temptation of the devil, it's very easy for one to become prideful. Oh, I didn't commit this sin for so long. I didn't do this. Or I didn't do this. And then we start to get prideful. But the saying is, pride always comes before the fall. And the devil wanted the Lord, the second temptation, to fall or to jump into pride. He wanted the Lord to jump or fall into pride. And that's why the devil took the Lord to the pinnacle of the temple. I was thinking, what is the pinnacle of the temple for us? The pinnacle of the temple for me is the leadership of the church. The pinnacle of the temple is for us to wear the tonia. To think that this tonia or this position or this gives me a right to behave foolishly. The pinnacle of the temple, maybe for you, is to think that you can come and take communion and then live I come and take communion, Abuna. So what? The communion will not save you unless you have relationship with the Lord. This is arrogance to think that you can just come and take communion and then live the way you want to live and you'll be okay. This is not the way, the plan of God. Actually, St. Paul says, to those who take communion unworthily, this will bring sickness on people. So this is like, you cannot just come, kiddah, and go to, and then want to jump and say the angels will save us. It doesn't work like this. Humility is the key to defeating all of this. To know that God will protect me. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But to be humble, humility is the key to defeating Satan. To be humble is to have freedom from pride or arrogance. Humility is taking the lowest place, not the highest place. Humility is accepting the difficulties as one worthy of them. Humility is to have the spirit of obedience and submission. And humility is the key to defeating the devil. There's a beautiful story in the Paradise of the Desert Fathers about St. Macarius. And it says that when St. Macarius was returning to his cell one day, carrying some palm leaves, he met a devil on the road with a scythe. A scythe is that, you know, that like long thing, keda ad keda, and at the end it has a blade that's curved, you know, that like, it's like that, yeah? You guys know what I'm talking about? And it says, the devil struck him as much as he pleased, but in vain. And he said to him, what is your power, Macarius, that makes me powerless against you? All that you do, I do. You fast, so do I. You keep vigil, I do not sleep at all. In one thing only do you beat me. And so St. Macarius was confused. What is this one thing that I beat you in, O devil? And the devil said, your humility. Because of that, I can do nothing against you. It was the humility of Job that allowed him to be victorious over the temptation of the evil one. All the evil that Satan put on, he lost his house, he lost his riches, he lost his family. He lost his health. But Satan said, if I take all of this stuff from him, surely he will curse God. But Job withstood all of this because of his humility. He said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The humble person realizes they have nothing to lose because they're already low. And so, and they realize that everything they have is from God. So humility makes the attack of the devil useless. That's why in the story of St. Macarius, it said that the devil struck him many times. With that, if I sat here and I struck Kiro, like, yeah, and I'm hitting him hard, Yanni, why did you get in it? Like, why? And you get angry? But I imagine St. Macarius is sitting there and the devil is like prodding him, and St. Macarius, not complaining, not resisting, just focused on God. So, like, that's the humility. He doesn't even care that he's being persecuted. Do you guys see what I'm saying? This is makes the attacks of the devil useless. That's why the scripture says, anyone who endures to the end will be saved. Humility is the virtue that allows us to endure. The third and last way to defeat the devil is to realize that we need help from above. We need help from above. St. Paul says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness, and in heavenly places. Earlier I was talking to you about St. Peter. and how at the Lord's Supper, the Lord told St. Peter, Satan has asked for you, St. Peter, that he may sift you as wheat. He took Yanni and sickled that. He wants to take it and iddi St. Peter, and to destroy St. Peter. But actually the Lord said something very beautiful. He said, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you return to me, strengthen your brethren. And the amazing thing about St. Peter, wala fahm haga, like doesn't understand anything. And St. Peter said, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Oh, Lord, I'm willing to go to prison with you and to death. The church father said, look at this. Human resolve. You can try to fight against Satan all you want by all your efforts. Just like St. Peter said, I will never betray you. I am your chosen disciple. I'm not scared of death. Well, a little servant girl, Adikida, came and said, are you with Jesus? And how khaf? Oh. To show you that human resolve, that doesn't count for wala haga. To defeat the devil, you need strength from above. You remember the story of the demon-possessed person of the Gadarenes? You remember that story? This person tormented by a demon for long periods of time. And then the Lord, the devils, like had a conversation with the Lord, and the Lord permitted the demons to go into swine. What happened to those swine? What happened to those swine? Those swine couldn't last 1 second, 2 minutes with the torment of the devil. Those swine could not last 1 second. To show you that we cannot last, we have no strength by ourselves. If the devil wanted to sift us as wheat, he could drubna and end us. But it's only through the blessing of God and through His grace that we are able even to survive. That God gives us breath to be able to raise our voice and to call out to Him to help us in our struggles. That's why the psalm of today was so beautiful. The psalm said, your face, O Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away. You have been my help. Do not leave me or forsake me, O God of my salvation. If you want the power from above, you have to seek His face. If you want power from above, how do you get this power from above? How? How do you get this power from above? You get this power from above through prayer, and this kind cannot come out except by prayer and fasting. You want strength from above? Empty yourself. Do not feed the body. Many of the youth are asking me, Abuna, why do we have to fast from food? Why can't we just fast from something else? Video games. Okay, this is very good. And even in the prayers we say, Anon hon maren erneste vin chen u tovu chen u mithmi o wanten er brosef cheste en oshe volen go emos. Fahmin? And we too let us fast with purity and righteousness. The true fast is with purity and righteousness. So then all the youth are saying, Tabuwa, na fast from gibna. And I'll fast from purity and righteousness. Khalini akul gibna. Does that work? The fasting comes by denying the body's pleasure from food. The Lord Jesus Christ, He defeated Satan by fasting, by not eating. The Lord Jesus Christ, He's pure. But He chose to not eat for 40 days. So we need to not eat. واحد يقول لي البروتين بتاعي. So if you want your protein, you want protein, you want power on this earth, or do you want power from above? To defeat Satan, you need power from above. Today I've given you 3 ways to defeat Satan. Number one, do not Yeah? It's like, how come you love businessmen? You want to negotiate. Number two, you defeat the devil by? Humility. By humility. And lastly, you defeat the devil through power from up above. And glory be to God forever. Amen.